Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke, and it is a real treat to be joined by UW Parkside graduate and Register of Deeds for Racine County, Tyson Fettes. Tyson, glad you could be with us on Parkside today.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
When you left Parkside, my guess is maybe you weren't thinking Register of Deeds. So how does that come about? How does Tyson become Register of Deeds?
Well, you might not be aware, there were a couple classes on being a Register of Deeds offered at Parkside.
I did not know that.
In the middle 2000s that I took a couple classes and Parkside had me prepared to take that job on. So
Excellent.
No, I did not have Register of Deeds lined up. However, Parkside did have me set up to very passionately want to get involved in public service.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changed my opinion of what I wanted to do with my career, even from the beginning of what I set out to get a college degree in.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed me to run for the town board in the town of Burlington. And it put me on a track to when there was a vacancy in the Register of Deeds position because of my role as student body president at UW Parkside, my role mm-hmm. on the town board, being involved with planning and zoning and other real estate opportunities that happened in the town of Burlington. I was really prepared for the position as the county Register of Deeds.
And if I'm remembering this correctly, you were on the Burlington town board as a student
yes.
here at Parkside, correct?
Yep. Yeah. So my freshman year, I came in to play baseball, and I was a walk-on, made the team, and planned on playing baseball all 4 years, and I hurt my arm. Kind of needed something to do to show my parents that I wasn't going to sit around and do nothing all day long. Saw a pamphlet to join student government and be on the cabinet for student government. So that really got me involved in student government for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did it in high school, and it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot and was fortunate enough to do that as a sophomore. Junior year, was elected student body president. And then instead of running for re-election for student body president, I decided to run for the town board in the town of Burlington, and was fortunate enough to be elected, which is a little over 11 years ago already, and I'm still serving on the town board, which is hard to believe that it's been that long.
What do you think when you look back at that first campaign for the town board? What are some of the things that you did where if Tyson today could go talk to Tyson 11 years ago, you'd say, nah, don't do that, or you really should do more of this?
You know, that was it was quite the experience. I remember over spring break doing doors.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many kids were doing doors. So I knocked on over 600 doors running for that position and met a lot of really great people. I still bump into people to this day who remember me stopping at their door 11 years ago. And, you know, it's I have no regrets about getting involved and doing that. It was so much fun. And just serving the people, it's been quite the honor, and it really put me in a really awesome position, a really cool opportunity for things to move down along in the future. So,
mm-hmm. Tyson, recently you were elected president of the Wisconsin Register of Deeds Association. How did that come about, and what do you think your role as president of that association? How do you bring that experience back to Racine County?
Oh, absolutely. What an awesome honor. So there are 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin, as you're well aware. And so every county has a Register of Deeds, and we have an association that works really hard on behalf of the people of the state. One of the pieces of legislation that I helped champion a couple years back was statewide issuance of vital records. So an individual can get their birth, marriage, death certificate at any county, regardless of where the event occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that law being changed, you had to get it at the place that it occurred. So you'd get your birth certificate because you were born in Dane County. You'd get it there. You get your marriage certificate in Brown County because you got married over there, even though you live here in Racine County. So
mm-hmm.
It was really a really great piece of good government legislation and super common sense. And those are some of the things that our association works on to benefit the people of our county, because we're stronger together as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really awesome organization, hardworking. We're looking to streamline and organize all of the things that we do throughout our office, and we'll get into more of that, certainly more about our office. It's a huge honor. It's to be recognized by my peers around the state to lead our group, and I look forward to continuing to do new and big ideas throughout the state of Wisconsin in this role for the next year.
with the evolution of technology, is technology driving or part of the driver of what is now possible when you talk about, oh, I can go to any county office and get all of my records mm-hmm. where before I had to bounce around depending. Is technology a driver there?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that had to happen is all of these records are paper, right? So while one of the biggest reasons why you had to go to the county office was because that's where the record existed. Through technology and partnerships with the state and automating systems and working off of one statewide system instead of 72 various individual ones, we were able to automate that process so you can just make that request and hit the same database of all of the various vital records throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. So it's smart planning, it's good government, it's buying in and utilizing technology. And, you know, there's so much technology coming down the pipeline. As you're well aware, you know, some of the things like blockchain technology and what that means for a recorded document and transactions of home sales. You know, we have a conference coming up in October, and we're having an expert, a president of a property record industry association, coming in to speak to us about blockchain and trying to understand what that technology means and what that's going to mean to our offices in the next several years. Is how do we incorporate blockchain technology into securely record documents and also make those records publicly available?
With the changing in technology and bringing that into your role as Register of Deeds and other offices around the state, do you see it as maybe a bit of a generational shift, whereas younger people are involved with roles like Register of Deeds or working in the offices, that there's more interest in or acceptance of saying, oh, here's a way we could do that differently?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and you know, certainly that is true. You know, some of my I'm certainly a number of years younger than most of my counterparts around the state, so it probably makes it a little bit easier for somebody of my age to buy into technology. But you know, I give a lot of credit to a lot of our members around the state to understand how to use technology to buy in to make our constituents' lives better. And mm-hmm. you know, that's one of the biggest things is why I've championed so much technology in the three offices that I oversee. Is the biggest goal I have is how can I serve the public better? How can I get them their information that they are looking for right on the smartphone right now when they want it 24/7? They don't mm-hmm. have to wait for my office to be open 8 to 5 to just call and then have us look up the information, to have us then snail mail it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've set up things so they can find it now. We're in a now society. We're in a 3-click society. And we've tried to do as much as we can. Because not only is it lean government on our side, it's eliminated a lot of inefficiencies on our side,
mm-hmm.
But it's also made it a really benefit to the public. So my main focus is trying to serve the public better, and that's what I use technology to figure out how we can do that.
A year ago, you're at a conference in California.
Yeah.
And we're in the midst of what can be described as historic flooding in Racine County, especially the western portions of Racine County, town of Burlington, city of Burlington, and you connect with a company that helps bring technology to kind of assess and monitor that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that experience and how that came about.
It was just an absolutely incredible morning. So with the two-hour delay in California. So to back it up, I'm in California for a GIS conference put on by Esri, which is the worldwide leader in digital mapping. They essentially invented the digital map. There are 18,000 people out at this conference. It's huge. And so I wake up in the morning, it would have been Wednesday morning, and with the two-hour delay, I see, I believe it was like 48 phone calls and text messages. And
that's not a good thing.
Yeah,
right? This is good.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it started with some text messages in the middle of the night from my wife saying, "Hey, look at how much water we've got, and I'm nervous about the basement." And you know, we were very, very fortunate that we did not have an ounce of water in our basement at this whole time. So I was thankful that with me being gone personally, my wife didn't have to deal with that.
Right.
Would have had more text messages probably then.
Yeah.
But looking through them all and then seeing the emergency operations center was starting to get set up and seeing the county executive and the sheriff holding a press conference already in the morning, I felt so weirdly out of touch with my hometown and my community. I mean, as you know, I born and raised in Burlington, still live there to this day. I'm as big of a Burlington homer as it gets. And I'm on the town board and I am disconnected from the people I'm supposed to serve and be there for. And it was this horrible empty feeling of just, I didn't know what was going on, and it was mm-hmm. wild. And I remember talking to the county executive at one point, and there was concerns about the bridges failing and the mm-hmm. dam breaking and, you know, then the National Guard being called in. And it was so weird because I'm in this perfect, beautiful place in San Diego at a conference where we're supposed to be learning, and it's really hard to focus.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking with one of the folks at Esri. He was a little bit of a higher up at the company, and I was telling him about my hometown and not looking for anything. And the company is just so big. They have so many different avenues of things they do, from public health to safety to land records to you name it. Esri's got a hand in it. And the guy goes, well, why don't you go talk to our disaster team? They can help spin something up for you.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's really nice of him to just offer that for me. And maybe they'll do it because he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next morning I go over and talk with the Esri disaster response team. And they said, oh, absolutely. Yep. We're here to help. Just send this an email to this email right here. And so I do it, but you normally wouldn't do that because you wouldn't be with them. So mm-hmm. I happened to be with them when we were doing this, and we send the email, and she goes, look, oh, I got it approved. And it was wild to do this right in front of her. And she goes, well, let's grab John. John will sit with you guys and help set up a disaster response plan for you. And how many licenses do you need? Esri's built on licenses. And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, is 50 enough? Will that help your first responders go through and do damage assessment? I'm like, sure, I guess. And
wow.
I remember about halfway through this process, she's just throwing all this stuff at me. And I said, is there a cost to this?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, this is what we do for our customers. We're here to help. You need us right now. So we sat with them on that Thursday, and we developed a damage assessment application ready to go for smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
So what was really incredible about it was, it fed into a dashboard. So people on the ground could use their smartphone to answer the exact same questions at every property they went to,
mm-hmm.
tying everything mm-hmm. to an address, answering the FEMA codes, major, minor, damage, affected, destroyed. We're answering the exact same questions. So we're streamlining all of our collection of data, and we're instantly filling it into this dashboard. So when we got back to the emergency ops center on Saturday morning and the team started going out, me and Kim in my office were there to assist them and deploy this application. So we were able to see 1,000 damage assessments done over the next 5 days. Right on a dashboard in the emergency ops center while the teams were out on their smartphones. They were collecting images that were all tied to a map. We were then also tying the 211, the self-reporting that was going on in the during the time of the flood. The
sure.
folks that would call 211 to say what their damage was,
sure.
we mapped that out also. We were tied into social media. So while we were sitting in San Diego, we could tie into people's Flickr accounts who made them public, and we were seeing self-posted photos on our map.
Wow.
We had sandbag damage. We had NOAA data to show us current flood levels and where that was going to crest and where it was heading and projecting. We had all of this on a dashboard. And when we got back to Burlington to show this, it was just absolutely incredible. And you look at what would have happened if the team would have went out with paper. So you would have had 1,000 pieces of paper, wet, damaged, with each person collecting different answers.
Right. Right.
You wouldn't have a specific for FEMA code. It would have been whatever they felt like. It was bad. It was ugly.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
So we were very quickly able to then kick out all of this data to turn it over to FEMA to show what we had done. And it was absolutely incredible. It was, you know, by no means was I an expert. I'm not involved with emergency management, but we learned on the fly. We learned quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We used common sense, and it was such good government, and I was so proud to be a part of it. And it was weirdly felt really great to have been able to help, and that I was in the right place, ironically, to be able to help in that situation from afar.
So Tyson, you're there, you feel a bit disconnected, not being able to be in touch with the people that you're serving as a member of the town board, but you make one connection, and now you're helping them in a way that maybe you couldn't have foreseen you'd be able to.
Yeah, it was really just an unbelievable feeling, you know, coming into your hometown on Saturday morning and seeing Humvees parked by the bridges was incredible, and just knowing that, you know, from afar I was able to you know, put my small piece of help in from being removed. It was a pretty wild feeling, and like I mentioned, you know, I'm not sure if we weren't out there, I don't know if we would have thought to reach out to the folks at Esri and say, hey, is there something you would do to help us in this situation? Because what company does that?
Right.
I mean, it's just so incredible about what that company does. And you know, in a time of need, they open up their systems and software to help you and to help the community. And it was pretty incredible. And so we're very thankful for everything they did to help us also.
And that experience working with Esri and the disaster relief, that leads to an opportunity for you to testify before the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Oceans, Atmosphere, Fisheries, and Coast Guard. We get the Coast Guard get the Coast Guard in there as well. Tell us how that opportunity came about and what that was like testifying at the federal level.
It was one of the most moving, incredible experiences I've ever been a part of. And you know, John, you've known me for a long time, and I'm a history buff and a political junkie, and to be able to testify in front of the United States Senate was really high on my list. It's something I never dreamed I would do. And walking into the Russell Senate building and waiting to go into the hearing room, and then finally getting to go into the hearing room to the back side where they let the speakers go. Somebody said, oh, you're a speaker? Oh, you can go in. And you don't have to wait in the hallway here. Oh, okay. And then going in and introducing myself to the staff, and the staff saying, oh, who's your boss? Thinking, I was some staffer to a person speaking. That was pretty funny too. And so they then took me into where we were going to speak, and you see where the senators sit around the table. It's like one of those rooms you'd see on TV or on C-SPAN. Mm-hmm. And to then walk up and see your nameplate made for you already, Mr. Fettes, it was just so humbling and incredible to be a part of that. When I was testifying, there were photographers on the ground taking pictures of everything that was happening. And I just got one of the coolest photos where you can just kind of see my nameplate and see me speaking. And I every picture that's ever taken of me when I'm speaking, my hands are always in the air. So of that one, it's definitely out there.
Hands are in the air. Yeah.
It was so wild. And there was a handful of senators in the hearing room. Senator Baldwin from Wisconsin is the person who wanted to hear about our experience with the Burlington flooding.
Okay.
So I got to speak with her privately before and afterwards to tell her more. And then, you know, we also were working on the reauthorizing of the Coastal Act, which is some of the data that we were able to grab from the federal level to be able to pull into our dashboard, the flood levels through NOAA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the most humbling experience. It was wild. It was about a week's notice. Flew in late that Monday night, testified Tuesday morning, and then back Tuesday afternoon. And it was wild.
So was that how the opportunity came about, that Senator Baldwin is on this committee? She knows about the flooding in Burlington. She knows some of the backstory, if you will, of how technology comes into play. And that's what she, and she's is it was she the kind of the person who brought that about?
Yep. Them and the folks at NOAA and the partnered, and they said, hey, we have a really neat story down here. I think this will help play really well in your committee hearing.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple other folks that that testified also, and really neat getting to know them. One of the person was from another county, and I got to talk to the National Counties Association afterwards, and they just wrote a piece up on our story from Racine County from hearing my testimony that they're going to put out to all their members of Grable Country, letting them know about our partnership with Esri and how we were able to work through that. It's just such a common thing that can happen at the county level that it's a really nice tool to be able to share.
So during the testimony, are you fielding, if that's the right word, questions, just at large questions from the senators, or is it a little bit more structured?
Yeah, so it was opening statements, and then the senators got to ask some questions, and it was cool. I'm not very often at a loss of words, you know, and
that's true. I agree with you.
It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
And I can't even get words out to explain how just incredible that experience was.
Was there any question that came at you that kind of sticks in your mind, or you remember back to that experience? A really interesting question, or one that stands out among some of the others?
No, you know, nothing in particular, but it was, you know, being a a little bit of a political junkie, recognizing some of the United States senators that were asking you questions. Mm-hmm. Senator Nelson was there from Florida, and he gave some opening statements. And it was just really wild to think, wow, I'm getting asked questions by United States senators. There's only 100 of these folks around the
Register of Deeds.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. As residents in Racine County, what's kind of the vision? What do you see is, what are you trying to accomplish in that position, and where do you see some of the opportunities and challenges over the next few years?
Yeah, so when I was appointed to the position in 2011, you know, one of the things that I said I wanted to do was to bring and grow technology in our office. And coming up on 7 years now in the office, we've got just such a unique story to tell. And the Racine County Register of Deeds office is very unique, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but it's unique around the country. And, you know, I'll give you the short version, but, you know, we first said, hey, let's make sure all of our records are scanned and indexed all the way back to the 1800s. We got to start there. We got to 1836, the first deed in Racine County is available on your smartphone right now. We could pull it up and take a look at it.
Wow.
So eliminating the need for title companies to come into our office on the daily basis, the public can then search their records without having to drive into the Racine County courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
We got all of that set up, and then we said, hey, we have 70,000 plats of surveys, and those are all on file in our office, and only Pat in our office could pull those. And so if Pat was on vacation, that was not great.
Right.
And
right.
I'd get phone calls, and we'd have surveyors coming in all the time when it was raining to get their files. And so I said, Pat, how do you pull it up on the computer? I didn't know how to. He goes, oh, it's in the. Not even navigating. I was trying to use my mouse to click on things, which didn't go well. And so I just asked the dumb question to IT, and it pulls up the image, Landshark. So when you search by a parcel number, it pulls up the image, and then you can pay for it with a credit card, and everyone's happy. And I got the, so finally it's determined that yes, that can happen. And I said, oh, when do you think you could have that done by? Oh, by the end of the afternoon. So just by asking a dumb question, which I'm really good at. And, cause you know, I'm by no means an expert in any of this. It's just having the ability to learn and ask questions and intelligent questions and process information and figure out, you know, what your goal is. And you know, we can come back to this, but those are some of the things that my college education here at UW Parkside set me up to do. So, we oversee those surveys on file, and then we had a workflow to our next step. So our office is unique. We oversee the property tax, the property tax listing department is also under the Register of Deeds office. Not super unique around the state. There's probably only about 5 or 6 of us that do that.
Mm.
But the deed work flows through. So when your deed is recorded, that's what updates the tax file for where the tax bill is going to go. Yeah. So if you sold your house to me, the deed gets recorded. It goes to the tax listing department. They update it. The assessor now knows who owns that piece of property, and you get your tax bill. So that's how that work flows through. So in my opinion, it should be more registered deeds overseeing it. We work really close together. I think it's a written on that deed is what drives if that change is made or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a really great partnership. So I'm glad it's that way. So again, that whole system lived off a green screen. Pat and Leland were necessary to be able to print tax bills for the 2 weeks in December. It was a terrifying position to be in because only those two guys knew how to do it. A company that didn't even support the software anymore. It was held together on like bubble gum and toothpicks, I think. It was terrifying. So we worked and we upgraded that to a state-of-the-art Windows-based tax system that really had a really awesome portal. And that, for anyone who wants to go check out the site, it's racinecounty.com/tax.
Okay.
In that site, you can search anything, any property in Racine County by address, by parcel number, by name. And you can pull up the hub of all things property in Racine County. Square footage on your house, year built, your tax bills, your old tax bills, your current assessment, your old assessment, sales history, links to buy a copy of your deed, which would link you then to Landshark. So we've made the connection from Register of Deeds to tax, which is a really cool step. And then, you know, the joke I always tell is that I could barely spell GIS about 2 to 3 years ago. Little did I know I would ever go testify in Washington about it or speak at national conferences around the country on it.
Yeah.
But all because on that tax site, there was a button that said, click here to view on a map.
Okay.
And when you click there, it zooms you into a map and shows you your property on a map. And it's like, hey, that's pretty cool. We need to have that. Let's upgrade our GIS. So our office then took over the GIS. The person in my office, property lister, is also the GIS manager for the county.
Okay.
But she kind of reported to a different area, and it was just something that needed to be upgraded. So we worked with the land information funds that the state allows, and we determined GIS model in our county. Yeah. And so we went from a really bad, outdated GIS system to a state-of-the-art GIS system essentially overnight, and we accidentally won an award from Esri that 175 users out of 100,000 users win on a yearly basis.
Wow.
And, you know, I got an email from the owner of the company, a canned email, but I almost deleted it because I didn't recognize his name. And in the GIS world, Jack Dangerman is the biggest name you've ever heard. I mean, that is this guy is an incredible person, and reading on him, I was sad I didn't know who the person was until I read on him.
Wow.
He essentially invented the digital map, and it's a privately held company. And we won that award. We got to take a picture with him at that conference. And what's really cool is people try really hard to win those awards. I didn't even know there was an award to win. We were just trying to serve the people.
Yeah.
And we started creating the way GIS is move. It's not one map with a bunch of layers anymore. It's task driven specific applications. So if you go to RacineCounty.com/GIS, you will see 50-plus task-driven specific applications to help you find what you may be looking for. Wow. Sales comp in the county. My tax bill is a link where you just search by an address and pull up your tax bill. Recorded document map, so that we've connected then our registered deed system, our tax system, all on a map. So you can see it spatially. You can see every recorded document back to the 80s on a map, with a link to back to Landshark to purchase the document. Foreclosure map. So you can see every pending foreclosure that's available in Racine County right now. We basically created our own Zillow page. County board supervisor map, lottery credit map. We just have all kinds of, I get a lot of questions, applications that are available to the public, because it all started with, I get a lot of questions about, hey, I'm trying to see if this house is foreclosed or not. Because the only way to find it is if you go to a bulletin board at a town hall and look at the sheet.
Right. Right.
So just asking questions and understanding things, we found out that the sheriff's office maintained that on an Excel spreadsheet. So the smart people in the GIS world, our consultants said, well, we can just write a nightly script that scrubs their Excel spreadsheet. Yeah. So no one has to do any work. They still maintain their spreadsheet, and you get a cool map out of it. And then we tie it to the tax system, because if you wanted to buy a foreclosure, you want to know if there's back taxes on it.
Right.
You'd want to know what the square footage in your belt is. You'd like to know that information because you can't go in it.
Yeah.
You'd like to see that form that's posted at town hall that says the amount that the sale is going to happen. You'd like to know what the date is.
Yeah.
And the time.
Yeah.
We put that all on a pop-up box, and there's pins all over the map that show you various things that are going on. And that lives right on the sheriff's website. And when we unveiled that, instantly we stopped getting phone calls because the public could find the information they needed.
Right.
Because they don't want to call us. They just want to be able to find the information, and we're happy to help. It's not that at all. But if we don't have to answer the phone as much because we're solving people's problems, it gives us more time to develop more applications to assist them even further.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we've used technology. And it's kind of that story of we started with scanning all those deeds all the way through to our task-driven specific GIS applications has got us to where we are today. And it's fun. I mean, I love going to work every day. I love my job.
Well, that's easy to see if he's listening. You think maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? But it's easy to see that you do like what you're doing, and it's very interesting to hear about how what you're doing is helping people to better be able to get information.
Yeah, whether it's the review public who wants to see their assessment to their at the board of review process at their local municipality, if it's somebody who you know, our business partners, our title companies, our law firms, if they need information to help serve their customers, you know, we're just, our main focus is, you know, to provide a high level of service to my boss. And my boss is 200,000 people in Racine County.
Right. Interesting. Well, Tyson, as always happens on the show, the time goes by much more quickly than I think it's going by. And I certainly appreciate.
Did it go that fast already?
It did, yeah. I appreciate you coming in.
Before I'm done, I just want to say that Chancellor Ford and you, John, the work you guys are doing here on campus is incredible, and you don't hear that enough about how great you guys are doing. And it's so awesome to see Chancellor Ford and yourself at the Foxconn event that we were just at together and bumping into you guys all over the community in Racine County And it's you guys are great advocates for this university, and it's so cool to see more people telling the story about how great Parkside is. And I think with Foxconn coming into the area, it's going to be a game changer for this university. This university is in a position to really grow because of some of the work that you guys have been doing the last couple of years, and I'm a proud UW Parkside alum.
Well, I appreciate that, and it is a, you know, the university was established 50 years ago to, much like the Register of Deeds, we were established 50 years ago to serve this area, and one of the ways you serve the area is get out into the area, and as you know, Chancellor Ford is we're pretty sure she's cloned herself 3 or 4 times so she can be at all these things at the same time.
Yeah, that and her energy is incredible. Yeah. Does she ever have a bad day? I mean, she is just always going.
If she has had a bad day, and I mean this very sincerely, if she has had a bad day, I have not seen it. She maybe, and you know, maybe when she's driving home, she has that. But no, very, very positive person, and I think regardless of whether it's Chancellor Ford or yourself serving people through the Register of Deeds office, that being positive and being helpful means a lot to to your constituents.
Thank you enough. No, it's so true, I can't thank you enough for having me today, and always love being back on campus. Happy to be here anytime.
Well, you got to come back, and because we haven't even talked about what Foxconn and other developments mean to Racine County. There was a story in Biz Times about a French firm that's going to be doing some investing in more in the central city of Racine,
mm-hmm.
and what those things mean. So if you'll come back and talk to us
Absolutely.
A little bit more about that, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'd be honored to be back.
So Tyson Fettes has been our guest on Parkside Today. Tyson is Register of Deeds for Racine County. He's the president of the Wisconsin Association of Register of Deeds, and he is a recent testifier before the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Oceans, Atmosphere, Fisheries, and Coast Guards. Thanks very much for being with us, Tyson.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it.